From the east side to the west, this is From the Land, the Cleveland Sports and More podcast. I'm your host, Jason Gerber, and this morning we are together to support the U.S. women's national team in the first knockout game against Sweden. Oh, those Swedes are just so smug. We are also going to talk Browns, Guardians, watching the sunrise, breakfast, and more in our first ever From the Land Breakfast with the Boys. I am joined this morning by three of the best ever. My co-hosts, Phil Denko and Chuck Rambaldo, are here. We are also joined by the ultimate guest, Matthew J. Miller. Fellas, my dear friends and night owls, how does early morning Gerber time feel?
Oh, man. So good. So good. I'm a little sweaty for no reason. So not great. Musty.
Gerber feels moist.
Yeah, at least we get to watch bitches on pitches, but this is a little rough. Jeez.
Miller, thanks for leading us right into it. We are getting an early start for the round of 16 with Team USA. First half is in the books. It was 0-0 at the end of the first half, still is. We're going to be following the game this morning as we discuss our normal nonsense. How do you like Team USA's chances in the second half?
Well, watching the highlights of the first half, it seems like they're being a little more aggressive. So I like their chances a lot this half.
Yeah, I have no idea. Somebody's got to put the ball in the net and win this thing, right?
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've been the aggressors. So I'd like to see them get one. Let's get a goal or two without this having to go to penalty kicks. That'd be nice.
Am I onto something or on something? Is David Blatt Team USA's head coach?
I think you're on something. It's way too early.
They need to switch to Ty Lue now that it's halftime.
Yeah, right.
Team USA just had a shot there. All right. Well, as long as we're here and the soccer is going, why don't we talk a little bit of Guardians? Interesting week for the Guards as they made moves to the trade deadline without getting much help for the Major League roster. Josh Bell was the final move, traded to the Marlins for a prospect and some cash advantages hours before the Guardians were no hit in Houston. How many hits would Bell have gotten in that game over under negative 0.5?
Under.
I think he probably would have gone 4 for 5. He was saving up for that game. Yeah, exactly. 2-run home run, game winner.
Are cash advantages that like scratch-off tickets or something? What are cash advantages? Scratchers.
The Guardians got a guy from the Marlins that they immediately cut. And so they have to eat like his. Oh, that was almost a goal.
Oh, yeah. You're slightly ahead of us, yeah. I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm on your time, Gerber. I'm seeing this too.
That was close. I think that was Ertz who almost got it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That should have been a goal.
But anyway, the Guardians get a guy back who they cut immediately, and they've got to eat like his $8 million. But they got rid of Bell, so then the Marlins have to eat $17 million or $15 million or whatever he's making. So cash advantages. Guardians came out ahead.
Makes sense.
On the money.
Still, I think Bell will pick up his option next year, so we don't have to worry about that either.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go with the over. He would have got like one infield squibbler hit.
Beat out a...
Yes.
Off the end of the bat.
He would have gotten no hits. Nobody was hitting that guy that night. The pitcher for Houston just had one of those nights where he was ridiculous. Josh Bell would not have helped. Trading Rosario, trading Savali, trading Bell. The week ends with Josh Naylor hitting the IL with an oblique injury. Which one of those is most likely to derail what's left of the rest of the season?
Naylor's injury for sure. The trades were, you know, the only big league player we got back in return is Syndergaard, and he's already thrown two games, and at least he's getting the game into the sixth inning before they turn it over to the bullpen. So I guess that's a positive. But Naylor out of the middle of the lineup, really, you lose your protection to Ramirez. Who knows how long he'll be out now too. So I think that makes a bigger impact going forward.
Yeah, it's obviously the Naylor thing. Well, Jose may be the
Don't say it like that. Like it's a dumb question. Like okay, none of the other things could matter. Yeah,
how dare you ask us this? Well, he's the
only Why are you being such a dick so early in the morning?
I don't know. Yeah, it's the Naylor thing, obviously, just because Ramirez is the heart and soul of the lineup, but Naylor's kind of like the energy guy he's been all year. And even though he's kind of downtrending a tad and with the injury, but still you miss that guy in a lineup that doesn't often produce all that often. I said often twice in six words. I am a wordsmith this early.
Yeah, it's probably Naylor, but we haven't gotten to Savali's spot in the rotation yet. Do we even know who's filling that? Have they called somebody up? Or are they going to Xavion Curry? Well,
Xavion Curry started today,
filling it spot basically. So we've got somebody else coming. Are they going to throw Jose Peña as a pitcher in there now too?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that spot, but feels to me like it's losing Naylor is a big deal, and it's those oblique injuries to me are one of those injuries that like it just takes forever to heal. They're like, oh, it'll be 3 weeks, but really it's going to be like six. That's pretty bad to lose him. So I don't know if it's obvious that it's that, but
okay.
What did you think of the decision by the guys from the front office of the Guardians to head down to Houston in the middle of the week to meet with the team?
I thought about it from two different angles. One, I thought, oh man, these guys are a tight-knit group. Like management has to go down to Houston and explain what happened. And I thought, man, it sounds like a lot of those guys are really liked in the locker room, and it changes the dynamic, and you're a very young team and you lost veteran presence on that team, even though they weren't really producing all that much. So it made me worry a bit. Like I said, I think they could still win the division without these guys. However, when that happened, it just seemed like this is going to affect these guys a lot more than I thought it would. It's a business, and maybe they don't realize it. Some of the younger guys yet that team is constantly looking towards the future and not just right now. So it worried me a little bit, but then I thought, hey, I guess it's a nice thing. Cause like, when has management ever flown to where you're at thousands of miles away to deliver some sort of news or soften a blow? So I guess it's all right.
Yeah. I guess it's better than they did over Zoom. I also thought about that must've meant that Francona was probably also pissed, and it wasn't just,
yeah, I was wondering about that too,
that they had to soothe over. Cause if Francona was 100% on board, then he takes care of that. And if he's pissed off, then that's why you fly out there.
Whoever made the call back to Cleveland probably said something along the lines of the clubhouse has completely soured, you know, and Tito's the guy, like Miller said, Tito's the guy that keeps that clubhouse in line and has through other issues over the years. It just must have been bad enough to where like we've never seen the clubhouse like this. This is not good. Get down here and, you know, talk to the team and let's try to get them pointed in the right direction again. So I don't know. That's how I perceived it. It was something that must have gone so backwards in that clubhouse to warrant that trip. Because I think they were heading back home in like a day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My first thought was, is that like I appreciated the leadership in the organization to identify the issue and not maybe take that knee-jerk reaction of like, hey, fuck them, they're professionals. Tell them to figure it out. It's, hey, we got a young team. Let's get down there and let's talk to him. And I also like everybody does, you like a boss who will, when they make a decision, even if you don't like it, at least they'll come down, they'll meet you face to face and they'll talk to you about it and they'll take ownership of it and they'll explain their position. And, you know, it's one of those things like sometimes just talking about it is everything that the players would need. You know, it's like, we just need to be heard on this and then we can move on. The other part of me says that, or at least I like to think, this meeting was what it would have been like if Coach Clark had cut me senior year, because he would have been like, listen, guys, he's just not that good. And you guys have been like, yeah, but we love him. We love him. You know, we want him around.
Stats aren't going to keep themselves.
My batting average would have taken a 25 point hit just with you without you keeping score.
Someone's going to make Miller look like he throws hard.
Hey man, it was a 90-mile-an-hour fastball in the corner in my book every time, Miller. You know what? I think it's cool that they took the step. I think it's a little bit disappointing that maybe it was necessary, but it's hard. I think you're right. You're losing personalities that fit the locker room well. I think everybody would say Josh Bell was probably a pretty good dude in the locker room. The fact of the matter was, he sucked. He was not producing barely at all, and if they got actually a really good prospect back for him. I know it's the prospect game, but I don't know that there should be a lot of complaints about that move because he just wasn't really that good.
I believe the prospect had a similar type game to Bell did. You know, Bell went, what, 4 for 5 with the Marlins on his first game?
Course,
I think
yeah.
The Khalil dude did the same for us with the home run as well. in single A, double A, wherever they sent him. But
yeah, I think I read that he's like the number 11 prospect in baseball right now.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, that's young, we got. Now, yeah. And he's still really young and he's way down there, but still, that's pretty amazing, man, to get that for Bell and Cash Advantages. I missed Saturday night's Guardians game, but we've all seen the highlights of Jose Ramirez knocking out, what's the guy's name? Nick Anderson? Is that guy's
Tim
name?
Anderson.
Tim
Anderson. Nick Anderson used to play for the Magic. Yeah.
Yeah. That was back in the 90s.
Where does Tom Hamilton's down goes Anderson call compare to Cleveland? This one's for you. Or Albert Bell's, this is where my power comes from. Or some other exuberant statement from a member of either a Cleveland team or its media.
Well, watching it with the audio synced a little bit afterwards, I thought, man, because the four of us are all broadcasters. Let's be honest. It's something so out of character for a baseball guy to have to call it, even if it was borrowed from Howard Cosell. Is that who did Down Goes Frazier? Was Howard? Mm-hmm. Okay, so even if it's borrowed, it's a classic. Classics never die. It's instantly recognizable. I don't know if it's the greatest call in Cleveland sports history. I enjoyed the LeBron James Cleveland This Is For You a little bit more, but this is still a really good one.
Yeah, it's no licking butts and kicking nuts, but it's up there.
Well, Herb Score was iconic.
I was about to ask who said licking butts. And, yeah. Or was it licking nuts and kicking butts, or licking butts and kicking nuts? Either way, no good.
According to my framed Christmas present, it's licking butts and kicking nuts, which I think is a quote.
Yeah, it was a great call. I mean, it's hammy, right? I mean, this guy's exuberant in long fly ball outs, you know, so it was great that he was right on it and had the instead of not having a good view of the punch connecting to call it and see that Anderson went down. So it was fun to listen to. And then, like Chuck said, when you sync it up to the video, it's pretty sweet.
I loved it. It was great. Like, I saw the highlight of it and then like went and found somebody on social media who had posted Hammy's call. And it's exactly what you had hoped it would be from him. So I don't know, crazy moment in that Guardians game. I think we can expect Ramirez to get about a week off, maybe a little bit more as the season continues. And maybe we should ask about that. Is Ramirez being gone for 8 games going to derail the season even more than Naylor being gone? But
do they play tomorrow though? Do you think any of this comes down before the game tomorrow? Like, are Anderson and Ramirez in the lineup today? Today, I guess it's not tomorrow.
Yeah. I bet they are.
They'll play today. Yeah. It won't be done that fast.
Especially because it's a Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
That committee is not coming to work.
Working.
Yeah. That's right.
I bet you we hear something probably midweek, right? And it's probably a 7 or 8 game suspension for him for being a badass, which apparently is against the rules in Major League Baseball. So we're in like the 64th minute. It's still 0-0 in this game. But am I wrong that it seems like Team USA is kicking their ass? I feel like we are down at their end, almost scoring like every couple of minutes here.
Yeah, they've been the aggressor for sure, and continued in the second half here. But I've seen more attacking from Sweden on our goal this half than the first half.
Plus, almost scoring is like being almost pregnant. It really doesn't count.
I guess it actually officially doesn't count. You're right, Miller.
That's right.
And you would know about pregnant too, because you got a lot of kids.
Yeah, and a lot of almost.
Those don't count.
Don't count, yeah. I think what we're seeing is that it's really hard to score in soccer. So should the World Cup be thinking of pitch clock type rule changes in soccer? Like, should the goal be like 15 feet high?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bigger goals.
Huge. Yeah. Bigger goals.
Smaller balls.
What about a 1-for-2 rule where for 2 minutes the goalie can only use one arm? How about that? Do you think that would increase scoring?
Yeah.
Or a 2-for-1 rule where for 1 minute of every game they roll out another ball. So you're playing with two balls at once.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
It's like in Maverick. It's like the football on the beach scene.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right.
What the hell was that called? What was the football on the
They called it
combat football or something like that? What was that?
No. What was
this is gonna
dog fight. Dog fight.
Dog fight football. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, a Ted Lasso?
No, the movie Maverick. Did you see last summer, Miller, that a second Top Gun movie came out? How long has it been since you listened to the show?
You guys have a show?
We're just hanging out on Sunday morning. Just hanging
out on Sunday morning. This was just for fun.
Oh man. So they subbed Rodman out. That's interesting.
We need someone to score.
Yeah.
Rodman just rebounds.
Boom boom. Well, did they bring in Rapino? I thought she had retired.
She was warming up, but they brought in someone else half her age. So
good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
So real quick, best song about a sunrise. Sunrise by Nora Jones. Sunrise in the Morning, Frank Sinatra. Sunrise by somebody named Kygo. I listened to it. It's pretty good. Good Day Sunshine by the Beatles. The Only Wrong Answer, Tequila Sunrise by the Shitty Eagles.
Tequila Sunrise by the Shitty Eagles.
Miller, this is why you're not invited very much.
I'll go 2 weeks in a row and I'll choose the Beatles for our song selection.
Can I just add in Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles?
Here Comes the Sun.
Yeah.
If your favorite Beatles song?
Yeah, I'll
go with that one.
You Are My Sunshine.
You Are My Sunshine. How about
that? Is that really about a sunrise, though?
No, it's probably about somebody's kid, but I think it's alliteration or hyperbole or
alliteration.
Onomatopoeia.
That's onomatopoeia.
I'm going with Sunrise by Nora Jones. Every once in a while, man, I really love Nora Jones. Is anybody else drinking this morning? You guys all just doing coffee?
Drinking coffee.
Coffee.
Bourbon's still wearing off from last night.
I've only been off the alcohol for a few hours.
Oh, I can smell my breakfast being made right now. This is fantastic. Oh,
man.
You know, the servants came over that early.
The servants spent the night, man. I'm like Schwarzenegger.
Damn, he's a generous one. Jeez.
All right, 68th minute, still no score. Moving on, let's talk a little Cleveland Browns. The perfect, undefeated Super Bowl season remains intact. Tell me something good about the Browns after their big win in the Hall of Fame game Thursday night.
I'll lead off with the rookie, right? Dorian Thompson-Robinson. He showed out for that entire second half. He looked good back there, hitting guys in stride. He was a good quarterback in college, but we all know how that goes once they put on the orange helmets in Cleveland. All right. I would imagine they're kind of fighting for that third spot in that quarterback room, right? And if he definitely put his stamp on it one half of one preseason game into the season.
I'll expand and say not just him. Cedric Tillman looks like he can be an NFL wide receiver. In the tackle from Ohio State, maybe it's just his sheer size on the screen, but I'm like, he actually played pretty well. And he wasn't really just blocking scrubs. There were guys who started that he was playing against. So I thought the three rookies looked pretty good.
Cade York made every kick after the first one.
Yeah, nothing more disheartening than seeing him miss that first kick when there's like no wind or anything like that. Nothing's going on.
Extra point right after that. It did the same thing. It just happened to be close enough. It went through before he missed.
before it tailed off. Yeah.
So he's got a problem like pushing the ball right. That's like how I golf. That's really bad news. I haven't been able to fix that problem. Hopefully he can. All right. Hey, here's breakfast. This rules.
Man, can we put orders in?
Mm-hmm.
The guys would like to know if they can put orders in, honey.
Yeah.
Oh man, I got hash browns with like jalapenos and melted cheese. I got a fruit cup. This is gonna be great. I love mornings. All right. Thanks, baby. I'm with Chucky, actually. I think that the one thing I really was excited about was obviously the quarterback playing the second half, but that Tillman guy, the receiver. Just another – oh! No. Damn it, Team USA. I feel like that's what a soccer game is from beginning to end. It's like blah, 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 and then nothing. Yeah. I was happy to see that. I thought the more talent and ability we can get in that wide receiver room, the better. Maybe they hit on somebody with that guy. Before the game, a noted member of the Cleveland media said, Browns aren't good enough to take nights off. Deshaun should be playing at least a little bit and not wearing a winter hat in 80 degrees. Is this guy on something or onto something?
Well, Burke's on something, but I love him.
Whoever that was in the media is on. I know. I already said it was Burke. I already acknowledged that part. He's on something because there's no way you put Deshaun Watson out there in your bonus preseason game, especially in today's NFL environment where, you know, they're hardly going to see snaps in the three preseason games that they're supposed to play in. So no, I don't know about the winter hat thing. It's kind of weird, but you know, whatever keeps him on the straight and narrow.
I think we had a better chance of seeing actual Browns Hall of Famers play in this game, even though most of them are dead, than seeing Deshaun Watson play. I know he shouldn't. I'm surprised he even made the trip from Berea there to stand on the sideline.
That would have been hilarious. They're like, we're so afraid of him getting hurt, we're leaving him at home. We're not going to take the hour bus ride to get him down there. That would have been funny. Yeah, no reason for the starters to be playing. These preseason games are really pretty silly. I was okay with it. I think Burke is definitely on something. I was excited to see that the level of aggression of his takes is already there, because that's like mid-season stuff. Biggest Browns news, of course, over the weekend is the induction of legend Joe Thomas into the Hall of Fame. What's your favorite all-time Joe Thomas play?
I really don't have one, but maybe that he never missed any plays. I'll go with that one. All of them? Yeah. Wasn't it 10,000 something plays? Yep. I'll go with those.
Betty pass protected for Johnny Manziel, because that had to have been a challenge. There had been a couple times you're like, I'm going to Olay this.
He pass protected for over 20 starting quarterbacks, and he brought that up in his Hall of Fame speech, which there are some digs. I don't know if you guys watched it or not. There are some digs toward the Cleveland Browns as an organization in his speech.
Really? I didn't see it.
I mean, they were funny. It was things like that. Like, I blocked over 20 starting quarterbacks. I had over 11 offensive coordinators, blah, 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 blah. Like, stuff that you kind of just, as a fan, you're like, damn it. We suck so bad.
Yeah.
It was a good speech, though. He did a good job. I would definitely cue that up if you haven't watched it. So as far as the favorite play goes, all 10,363 of them, I think, is what's stamped on the side of my Joe Thomas beer can. So those were good.
I think that's the funny thing about the only Hall of Famer we've seen in the last like 25 years for the Browns is he's an offensive lineman. So he was awesome. He was consistent. He was great to the city, and his loyalty to the Browns is really unheard of. But I can't think of a single play where he like blocked somebody. I was like, that was awesome. Maybe I'm just not a smart enough football fan. So anyone else since 1999 for the Browns making it into the Hall? Can I get a Phil Dawson, Josh Cribbs, Miles Garrett, maybe? Jeff Fain? What do you think?
Joel Bitonio. Another there's a whole article about that this week, that he's probably the next one in line. Joel Bitonio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Miles Garrett's probably on that path. He's got a long way to go. He's got to stay healthy and play for, you know, at least double up what he's already put in years wise. But he's that player that's on that path potentially. I don't know about any of the guys that have already come and gone since 99. If anyone, it would be Phil Dawson. But again, that's a kicker who is consistent in shitty situations, but not a great kicker, you know? So I don't know. I guess I'd lean towards Miles Garrett until Miller just dropped the Bitonio thing on us.
Chuck, got something in your eye?
Yeah, I do. Sleep. What is the crust?
The remnants of.
Yeah. Garrett, he has the best shot if he stays healthy and continues to build upon the career he's having. But it's rare. Maybe Josh Cribbs might deserve it because I'm sure he holds some record, right? Some punt return, touchdown, I'm sure. Yeah. But it's so rare those dudes get like, is Devin Hester even in? Is that guy in? He should be, right? I don't know. Garrett has the best shot, but yeah, other than people bitching about Clay Matthews not being in, we got that for another couple of years, right, before he can't get in anymore. So
yeah, I think it's nobody. If anybody, it would be Dawson, and like the league just doesn't respect kickers the way that we do on this show. So I don't think there's anybody else. Not for a while, Chubb? Man.
Yeah, Nick Chubb.
I mean, I guess that would be the thing, but like, it's running backs. I don't know. Are we going to start to see less and less of those guys because they're just used less and they're kind of tossed to the curb quicker than they used to be?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to think of who is typically regarded as our best player.
Right.
And he's typically regarded as one of the best, if not the best running back, depending on where you put him and Derrick Henry. You know, if he does that in the way that they've used him, he's had a lower usage rate, but they purposely have done that to extend the life of his contract. So he's got a longer career. So I don't know, potential. I think the Cribbs thing will probably, he might be like one of those guys you get in, you know, and when he's hobbling around and can barely walk because no one else has returned a kick or punt for a touchdown in 20 years.
Yeah.
And age is better.
I just don't see it. I think you're right. It's Miles Garrett has been the best player for the last few years. We've got the ball in the box. Quit. It's like Allen Iverson over here, like doing crossovers, and then she lost the ball. Just kick it in the goal.
Yeah, their strategy really should switch at this point to kicking it in the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe Miles, maybe Chubb, but after that, like we all love Cribs, but did that guy have such a huge impact on the game in the league that you'd put him in the Hall of Fame? I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen for him.
How long did these games go till? Was it till
90 minutes, and then there's extra time at the end. So I mean, we're getting down to it, man. I'm telling you, this might end up in a shootout.
Does there have to be extra time? Like if we're winning, do they go to extra time?
Yes. Yeah, there's always extra time.
Which seems like it's just time then if you always get it. You wouldn't call it extra innings if you always played 10 innings.
So there's just someone keeping time of stoppage during the half.
And, time is probably a better description of it rather than extra time, because you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's just the same time. You just get what we do later.
every game.
Later time?
Well, it needs to be winning time very soon.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, hey, that's on
tonight. Hey, yeah.
I'm gonna take two naps. Damn it.
Hey, what's the worst way to be woken up in the morning? By an alarm clock, by a kid, by a dog, or by Gerber?
I'm going to say by a kid, usually because it's in the middle of the night, because they're moving from one bed to another, and I'm usually pretty tired. So when I do wake up, Chip's usually like literally on top of me, like hitting me. So that's the scariest way to wake up for me.
Pay your debts, Chuck. You won't hit you. I'm going to go with fire.
Fire? Was that on the list?
No, but to me, that's bad, the worst way to wake up. Followed closely by skunk in near the house. I've had that a couple times.
Have you ever had fire?
I've been woken up by firemen before.
Ooh, what club were you at?
Yeah.
You guys remember that little pickup truck I had in West Virginia?
Oh, I do remember this. Yeah.
That's a good story. Yeah.
Yeah. The knocking of the door telling me that they had towed my truck because it was on fire.
Off of that list, I'm going to go with the alarm clock, because that means I got something awesome to do, like go to work or something like that. Perspective changes. Like I don't mind when my kids wake me up now, because they're a little older and it's not like Chuck's situation. Nothing wrong with being woken up by Gerbs, but the alarm clock is usually I'm a guy that I got to set like three snooze. It's just awful, because I'm like, all right, here we go. Time to make the donuts, right?
I'm going with the alarm clock too. I actually hate it. And I actually eliminated alarm clocks from my life until Tammy opened her business and started teaching early morning yoga classes. And so now her alarm wakes me up in the morning, and I don't like that. So that's the worst one for me. 81st minute, still no score. What needs to happen here, Chuck? What does Team USA need to do to put this away?
Well, score, how they do it does not matter to me. It still looks like they're still kind of dominating the possession here. More in the box. That was a good term you used, Gerb. I like that. So let's get more in the box.
I watched the first half with the sound on, so I learned some of the words. Hey, let's talk a little college football. I've been hearing rumors that Case Western and John Carroll may have invites to join the Pac-12. Anybody else hearing that?
They might as well.
They're probably going to turn it down.
Late in the week, Oregon and Washington announce that they're leaving the Pac-12. That adds those schools to USC and UCLA, who are already leaving for the Big Ten, Colorado moving to the Big 12, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah are also trying to get into the Big 12. So scale of 1 to 5, 1 being when you guys heard we would record at 6 a.m., 5 being me when Denko came up with the idea. How excited are you to see Cal play Oregon State 3 times in the Pac-4 2024 conference season?
That's a 1 for me. About as excited as when I hit send on that text. That was a joke. It was a joke. No. Damn it.
I'll put it at a 1 as well. But I did enjoy sometimes that really late college football game that was typically a Pac-12 game. If I didn't get a whole lot of college football on a Saturday, that there was always a game on past midnight. So it's still a 1, though. I'm not a big – or did you say Oregon State? They're staying?
Yeah, Oregon State, Stanford, Cal, and somebody else. I don't know. It's not a good look.
Probably a 4. It'll still be the second best programming on Apple TV. Isn't that part of the problem? Is that the deal, the Pac-12 deal was going to be on Apple TV, and it's like $3 million a year or something ridiculously small compared to what the Big Ten pays each school. which is why they're all flying out, even though they're getting partial shares in the Big Ten or Big 12 or wherever they end up.
They are getting partial shares for like a couple of years, and then a new TV deal will kick in and they'll get full shares. But
even the partial shares more than they were going to get in the Apple.
Exactly.
TV
deal. Yeah. Once USC and UCLA leave, I kind of feel like the money you're going to get in that network is going to plummet, because those have to be the two biggest draws, right? So we've talked about realignment in college football a bunch. We've actually kind of talked about this idea that we're going to end up combining into a really small number of super conferences. Are you surprised that it's happening this quickly?
Yeah, unless, you know, there's a unspoken 30 some team tournament on the horizon, it makes a whole lot of sense for schools, because all that matters now is obviously money matters the most, but there's too much talent and too many conferences. How do any of them make a playoff or make a national championship push? All these super conferences got filled with really good teams. It's not like you got scrubs coming over to populate the Big Ten or the SEC or whatever it's going to be. That it happened this fast is shocking, but I guess it's kind of like, you know, like, if one skates and all these other guys, these ADs, start to see the fact that, oh, we don't want to be left holding the bag like the four schools left, I guess it makes sense, but way quicker than I thought it would happen.
Yeah, I think the NIL stuff probably accelerated this, right? Because now they have to have a formal on the books recruiting budget to be able to pay people millions of dollars to come play there. And so that TV deal, you can't get the, you know, Joe Schmo Chevrolet to be able to put some money under the table. You have to actually have it on the books, and that TV deal is going to be necessary in order to help pay players to come play for you.
And the corner kick coming up here for Sweden. Then we're going to get to Denko.
This is a strength of this Sweden team too, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, that never
is every chance. Player in the Sweden team belong.
No,
you're ahead of us. Damn it.
I haven't. No, you're no. Are you sure?
We just saw a brunette.
Was it a dirty blonde?
They're all dirty blondes, Miller.
Hey.
Well, their keeper has like black hair.
Mm. Yeah, there you go. There you go. No arguing that one. All right, Danko.
Yeah. All right. What was the question?
Surprised the alignment is happening so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it has really taken off. And all this starts the next year, right? Like it's 2024. Is this year like a lame duck year for all these teams? And it's kind of strange, right? But it definitely happening quicker than I thought. Even between now and next year, you know, what further changes happen? Like if you end up with two super, sorry, get back to Danko in a minute.
She's made two nice saves.
That was it right there.
Yeah. Shit. I think it was. Yeah.
Come on. You got like a minute plus stoppage time to keep the pressure on here. Cause then you got to play 2 15-minute halves before you even think about penalty kicks.
What?
Yeah,
we're gonna be here forever.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, the college thing, you know, if you end up with two super conferences, at what point do you just say, all right, here's our Premier League, right? Our top 30 teams, and we'll relegate people out in the bottom and get other colleges in every so often, and it turns into Premier League type stuff. So it is happening much faster than I anticipated.
I thought for sure this process was going to take like 5 to 7 years, work out all the contracts, work out all the money, the schools creating the impression that they care about tradition. And they just threw all that to the side and just said, nope, we're going to go full all in money. And the Pac-12 suddenly became like a sinking ship, man. And everybody got off of it, but it is a lot faster than I expected it to be. So is this going to end up in the next like 3 years? Is it going to be the SEC, the Big 12, and the Big 10, and then everybody else is just going to be like a mid-major conference for football after that?
I think it already has been. So now they're just formalizing it. There's also another part of this. So from a higher ed perspective, we're facing what's called the enrollment cliff, which starting in 24-25, there's a 15% drop-off in high school graduates, and that continues for a number of years. So that's going to affect
enrollment. Why is that happening?
People stopped having as many babies.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think that's going to be I think that's something that's factoring into this now, is they're trying to get their money while they can, because all their enrollments pretty much nationwide, universities are going to take a 10 to 15% hit. So it puts them in a better financial position to succeed during that dry period.
Until the Miller families catches up and all your kids start graduating from high school.
Sending one in next year.
It's definitely happening. I almost think it's going to whittle down to from 3 to 2. You know, I don't even know it's going to be three big conferences in the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to be 2, and they might turn it into more of a geographical thing, like an East and West. Who knows?
North versus South. Maybe.
Yeah, I was
fan favorite.
I was going to go away. I was going to go away from that.
There's even flags. We're already all set up.
I was going more the hip hop wars rather than the Civil War.
Yeah, it'll feel like these conferences are the only ones that matter and the only ones you're going to see, unless Mac still holds on to like Thursday night football on ESPN, if Mac action still happens. But
I thought it was Tuesday night.
Was it Tuesday?
It was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday night. Oh, there's a 24-hour turnaround, boys. Go play some football.
You'll be fine. You're young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walk it off. No one's watching anyways.
I don't think we're being old fuddy-duddies by saying this is going to kill a lot of the tradition of college football that more recently I've come to enjoy. I wasn't the hugest college football fan, and now so there's times where I prefer to watch it, but that's going to change for, I think, a lot of people. It feels super weird right now, and maybe it'll be better for us. I don't know in the coming years, but the fact that it takes away a lot of natural rivalries and regionality, that every Sunday or Saturday or Tuesday, now at this point, Miller, thank you, used to mean something. Like your season was on the line. And I don't know if with these super conferences, you're going to have teams who are losing 2 or 3 games and still a top 10 team.
It becomes a lot more like the NFL, right?
Yeah.
When you come, especially if you cut down, I think Denko's right. In a few years, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to cannibalize the Big 12, take the best teams out of that, and the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be your super conferences. They probably are going to realign and only play each other and have their own playoff and keep all that money for themselves. But it's going to be that level of competition means you're going to have a couple losses every year, you know, which in the NFL is fine. You can lose 4 or 5 games, and I mean, you can lose like 8 games and make the playoffs. I think that's where it's headed, and it's coming, and probably coming faster than any of us expected. It's going to be a wild time in college football for a while.
I think they'll do like sub conferences. The 2 sub conferences play each other. That's basically round 1 of the playoffs. Then you've got your conference championship. That's round 2. And then you've got your, you know, the winners of really then becomes your national championship or semifinal. It sort of builds up a structure, an ecosystem where you can only make it to the college football playoffs if you're in those conferences.
Yeah, I think they'll set it up so that they continue to make more and more money. So you're going to see playoff expansion, some kind of bracket like you're describing, Miller, or like, or if they do where it is like, all right, here's our Premier League, so to speak, where there's some sort of bracketing of all 20 teams, you know, or some breakdown like you're saying, Miller, and then, you know, teams get buys or whatever, and you're going to end up with enough weeks of playoffs to make another $1 billion.
Yeah, or maybe you do like 18 teams. The losers from each conference doesn't get in. Mm-hmm. And then you have the wild card where you bring in TCU's in the Big 12, right? But, you know, whoever that team du jour is.
Like, where does Notre Dame end up in all of this?
Notre Dame or your BYU or, all the ACC schools, because Clemson will have to go in one of those at some point in time.
So that's the end of regulation.
Yeah, I was about to say. So now there's a halftime.
Oh, my God.
There's a break.
Now they fight.
I was kind of counting on this being done by like 7:15.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but there's guaranteed 2 15-minute halves. It doesn't matter. It's not like golden goal. Like you play the 15 out and whatever. Yeah. Even if multiple goals are scored. Right.
So really we could have started this now.
Yeah.
Right. We could.
Who knew it'd be 0-0? I mean, what in the past couple of weeks would have ever pointed to the fact that this match would be 0-0?
I don't have enough material for another 2 15-minute outcomes, guys. We're in some trouble.
We just pile on the outtakes, man. Just keep it recording.
Yeah. That's what it's going to be.
Man, it looked like statistically the second half, the U.S. was just as dominant as the first half.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get anything in the net, man.
Boy, and so there really isn't a halftime. They're just jumping right in.
Oh, yeah. Now, okay, that's good news.
Yeah.
That's much better news for
us. Good news for us, not for
my early morning
nap. The women who've been playing soccer for 90 minutes straight already.
They're highly trained professionals.
So next week, the reason why, one of the reasons why we're recording early this week is because my schedule's thrown a little bit because I'm leaving on Tuesday to go to Chicago to see Springsteen at Wrigley on Wednesday night.
That's awesome.
If I run into him on the street again, do I act like we've met before, or do I pretend like our meetup in Austin never happened? What do you think?
No, great to see you again.
Yeah, oh, it's so good to see you again.
Yeah. Let him figure it out.
Yeah.
Bruce, great to see you again.
I can't believe this happened twice to me in the last few months. This is great. Good to see you again, buddy. Good show.
Stop following me, you stalker.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Come on, Bruce. Once was enough.
Yeah, seriously. Leave me alone, dude.
Yeah.
I know I'm a good lawyer. You don't have to keep trying to stop me on the sidewalk.
Look, set an appointment like everybody else.
That's right.
Ask me if you can get little Steven's autograph.
Oh, you got to go even more obscure. Can you get me Gary Talent's autograph, man?
Is Clarence's nephew around?
That's right. So they have extra substitution rules now too. So they could, I wonder if Rodman could come back in now.
Well, you're getting way deeper into the rule book than I can. Yeah. Danko. I'm not sure.
I'm just reading what they put on my screen. Did she start the,
I thought when they were flipping through the players a couple minutes ago that she was out there. I could be wrong, but
no, you might be right. I don't know. She had a hell of a first half.
You're just not happy about a non-call.
Oh, don't you know who her husband is? What are you doing?
I wonder if he's there. Got to be, right?
Is he from camp?
Is he
out of the league, right?
I thought he was retired, yeah.
Yeah, I think he is.
He got traded, I thought, last year. Isn't he in Phoenix, maybe?
I thought he was done, maybe.
Shit.
Yeah, he's in the Cardinals.
Get it out of there. Yeah. Get it out of there.
Arizona Cardinals.
He's on the PUP list, though, so maybe.
Oh, maybe he's out there then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he's sitting with Dennis Rodman. She was an amazing player in NCAA soccer. Like, she was well known.
I think I remember seeing something about like the old like faces in the crowd in Sports Illustrated, you know, like a long time ago, that she was like a soccer phenom.
What'd they call her?
Oh, had to be offsides, maybe.
Yeah. This was pretty funny. The guards play at noon today, you know. So I was looking at the on ESPN, you know, they, when you just look at the matchup for the day, they give you the percentage of likelihood to win. Before the Guardians announced a starting pitcher, we were 64%.
Oh no.
Advantage. Like, I was like, wait, we don't even have a decided, that's how bad the White Sox starting pitcher is. We don't even have a decided pitcher and we have a decided edge in the chances to win. Then they named Xavion Curry and it went down to 58. I was like, son of
a,
what did they think we were pulling out? Greg Swindell?
Yeah. What were they waiting for there? Right. Exactly.
That was the best of the possibilities.
Yeah. No kidding.
It's on Peacock today too, I think.
Yeah. I hate it when they do that.
I'm going to wake up from my nap and listen to it on my earbuds as I do yard work, I think, is what I'll do.
My wife will be seeing the Barbie movie for the third time during that time.
So I'll
be
watching with the girls.
I really want to go see it.
She's taking each kid separately?
No, she took Olivia the first time with a friend and her mom. Second time she went on her birthday with a couple friends. And today she's going with another friend.
So you haven't gone yet, Miller, huh?
I haven't, no. I don't get to leave the house unless it's for work. My visa doesn't allow entertainment purposes.
It's unfortunate.
It's a work visa.
Yeah.
Boy, they really got to get some changes to that program, Miller. I hope we can count on Biden to get something done for you.
See what I can do. The Revivalists are playing downtown tonight, and actually that was something I was hoping to catch, but I have a connection for tickets that didn't come through. Mm. Not you, Chuck. That wasn't a slam on you.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah.
Oy.
Oy.
It's like you were saying last week, Chuck. They're getting good looks. They just can't
finish.
They just can't get it in. Yeah. Oh, we got a corner though, huh? That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a perfect time. Run the play. She's, one of their players is cramping on the ground.
So in the first half, I know they do this every now and again, but they like two or three corners in a row, they ran the short play rather than actually taking the cross. Which is all right, but I'm like, I don't know, man. The cross.
I blame Blatt.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like the cross is, that's a.
I'm pretty sure it's Vladimir Zelensky.
I think I was at the last Blatt Cavs game he coached. I think I was there.
Wow.
Yeah. They won too.
You have the chair?
No. I was really close though, actually. I was like three rows behind the basket on their bench side.
Didn't Black go coach like the Russian national team after that for the Olympics or something? He coached some team that the U.S. ended up playing against in the next Olympics.
I think he's still considered like a great like international coach, but it was a mistake to pair him with LeBron James. That was not going to work.
Yes.
So while we're here, I don't know if you guys know this, but the FedEx Cup playoffs start next week. So that's like 4 weeks of golf tournaments where you've got to hit a certain number of points or you get eliminated and it comes down to the end and you win the FedEx Cup and you win something like $25 million for winning it. It's a pretty nice get. Let's draft teams, keep track of them over the next 4 weeks and see which one of us comes out ahead. I actually don't have a scoring system. I'll come up with one after this, but
get Tursic on it, man. He's probably got one.
Yeah, exactly. I need the auto draft because I minus Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy, I'm out.
Oh yeah, one right. You're good,
Miller. I got you. This is what we're gonna do. We've got three tiers of players, starting with the players that have the best odds. Each of us will get a pick in each tier. Tier one, our draft order is going to be Miller, Denko, Chuck, and then me. The players in tier one, John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Max Homa. Miller, you're on the clock.
Homa, my homeboy.
Denko?
Scheffler.
Chuck?
Rahm.
I'll take Rory. I like it. Next tier, draft order this time is Denko, Chuck, me, then Miller last. Players in tier two, Ricky Fowler, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, and Xander Schauffele. Denko?
Schauffele.
Chuck?
Hovland.
Miller?
I'm last, aren't I?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, good call. I'll take Fowler.
And I got Cantlay.
That's right, Miller. Cantlay. I'm not sure that's how you pronounce it, but that's really funny. All right. Final tier. These are all guys who are at least 1,000 to 1 to win the FedEx Cup. Draft order is Chuck, me, Miller, Denko. Players, Stuart Sink, Nick Watney, Billy Horschel, and Cameron Champ. Chuck?
Who was the second guy? Watley?
Nick Watney.
Yeah, give me
kinda that. Kind of like Watley.
But yeah, give me that guy.
The dentist from Seinfeld?
Yes. Yeah.
Tim Watley.
All right. Dentite.
All right, I'm taking Cameron Champ because Champ is right in his name. Miller?
Makes sense.
Who else is on that list?
You've got Stuart Sink and Billy Horschel left.
Horschel.
All right, Denko.
You got to get Stuart Sink right. Yeah, right.
Congrats. All right, so those are your three-man teams for the FedEx Cup. We'll see what happens. What's your favorite breakfast?
My favorite breakfast? I'm a huge fan of breakfast tacos or burritos.
French toast is my favorite breakfast.
All right.
Buckwheat pancakes, side of bacon, hash browns, orange juice, coffee, and water.
Wow. That is really real maple that's syrup, really specific.
Not the fake crap, the real maple syrup.
I thought for sure you were going to say I can't believe that you missed that opportunity to say something that, truly that's offensive.
Brunch. That's brunch. No one gets up that early in your house.
I like a good breakfast sandwich. I'm eating sausage, egg, and cheese with tomatoes on an English muffin this morning. It's fantastic. Come on, Team USA. God damn it. We had like four people right in the middle. Oh, boy. Sorry, got excited there.
No, you should be.
Yeah, you're definitely ahead of us. I'm watching it right now. So, another corner, though. They put Rapinoe in, too. Interesting.
Is it Rapinoe or Rapinoe?
I don't know.
Sides there.
Megan. It's Megan.
Megan, that's good. Yeah, we can pronounce that. That was a lousy fucking kick.
She's like the Tom Brady of this team, though, right? Isn't she 40? I think so. Close to it.
She is definitely like the elder stateswoman of the group.
Yeah.
Speaking of elder stateswomen, did you see Cole, what's his name, playing for us last night? The guy that it's like 37.
Oh, for the Guardians?
Yeah, 11 years in the majors and then was in AAA. For the Yankees and Dodgers, and we purchased this contract so we could have somebody who's old enough to drink on the team. And he got
somebody buy beers for Kwan.
Yeah, he got a hit last night, and then he got hit last night. He scored two runs, I think, didn't he? Or at least drove in one or two.
What position does he play? Is he an outfielder or another middle infielder?
He's like a designated hitter that can also play first base or outfield. Okay. I think they got him.
Oh gosh, I guess you're. I didn't even think of that. The fact that you trade Bell and then Naylor gets hurt, all of a sudden you need another first base DH type of guy on the squad, huh?
Because they've been playing Fry and then they played Arias at first base yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That's a pretty weird.
Arias looks like he can hit. He just doesn't. Like, didn't we? Yeah. We played him in the playoffs because he was actually batting better than whoever else we had on the team at the time.
He was hitting a little bit early in the week. I mean, he had a couple multi-hit games in a row, but
his pitch selection is just bad. He's not swinging at strikes. He's letting strikes go by. Like he's not identifying them. They're right down the center of the plate, sitting on junk. He's waiting for a curveball or slider.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I don't like the way the last couple minutes of this game have gone. I mean, a heart attack.
I wonder if Sweden knows that all they have to do is score and they win.
But that's not true, right?
Not true.
I mean, it kind of is.
I mean, yeah. It's not true, but you got to
think. This is not going to end 10-9.
That would be amazing. Probably
not. Yeah. That would be a wild turn of events.
So they got to be coming to the end of – pretty close to the end of the first 15 here, right?
Do they get extra
– extra time?
Extra time, yeah. Do they get stoppage time for the extra time?
I don't know. Who am I, Coach Beard? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Doesn't watching this, though, like make perfect sense why this hasn't really caught on in the U.S., except for playing? Like the level of – to play this is exciting. You're constantly moving, and the ball is being passed around nonstop, and there's action. So if you're – it's, you know, if you're sitting in the outfield picking daisies for 4 hours, it's boring for a kid. Right. They actually get to play, and there's nonstop movement. But to watch it as a fan, it's just people playing footsie for 3 hours. I can watch the 2 second highlight of the one score and know exactly what the game was because the U.S. has dominated ball control. And yet and in the
shots.
Last couple,
yeah,
in the last couple minutes here, Sweden is being more aggressive. So let's say they get one through, they're going to win. I don't know. It's just like that. The only thing that matters is that 2 seconds of who scores.
But Miller, you'd miss all the fake injuries.
True.
There's one right now.
So that's the stretcher. Really consistent with other sports, but man, it's.
I feel like the women do a lot less flopping than the men.
I agree.
Yes.
Oh, so there you go. They added 1 minute, Gerbs. There you go. There's your answer.
Yeah. So there are benefits. I'm not sure you guys know about this to waking up at 5 a.m. Which of these do you think you're experiencing right now? You'll have more quality time with yourself. You'll be ready to face the day on your terms. You will benefit from the power of compounding. You will give more to others by putting yourself first. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the more time with yourself, the jerking off one.
Thank you.
Get that done before anyone else gets out of bed, Miller. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Please don't do it right now.
Already done.
Oh, jeez. The first two sounded about right to me.
Other than the nausea from getting up too early and not enough sleep, I will go with spending some time with myself because that's very rare these days around this house.
Yeah, I want the benefits of compounding. I don't know what it means, but it sounds pretty good. So we're at the end of the first half of extra time. It's still 0-0. Looks like they're switching sides.
Oh, maybe nice. This is there's like they just keep playing. There is no
There's no stopping. Yeah, that's why it's got to be so damn hard to score now. Like they got to be exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, can this end in a tie?
No. So this is the knockout round. Kicks. So you have to have a win. Yeah.
If it's tied after this 15, it's penalty kicks.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but HBO's Winning Time starts again tonight. Do you think you'll still be awake? And what character are you most looking forward to seeing come back?
Oh, man. I'll definitely be awake. I may have slept sometime between now and then, but which character? I'm pretty excited to see Dr. Buss again. I'm pretty excited to see the logo swearing up a storm on the sidelines. Like, just, I'm sure, a complete false representation of Jerry. But, yeah, those two, I think Jerry West and Dr. Buss. I'm looking forward to the most.
I'll be awake, that's for sure. Character-wise, I think I'm going to be in the Pat Riley this year because it's going to, I assume, be his rise.
Yeah.
And I want him to, I don't remember if he got his like LA look at the end of season. Did he start slicking the hair back yet or any of that? Or is he can't still remember?
Did he do something like in the hotel where he like shaved his mustache and like slicked his hair back, something like
that? Yeah.
I'm interested in Riley's story arc this season.
Miller, do you watch this show?
I do. I think the decline of Red Auerbach could be interesting in contrast to the Lakers' rise. Plus, you get to see the commish again.
Yeah, love to see the commish. Can't have enough Michael Chiklis in your life. Damn it. I think it's a tie between Dr. Buss and Larry Bird for me. Both of those characters are pretty awesome. And so I'm looking forward to seeing those guys. But fellas, we're out of time. The game isn't over yet, so we're going to stick around. I'm out of questions for now, and we just did the whole show without mentioning that scientists now recommend that you should gray rock a narcissistic person, a technique that involves responding to them in bland, boring ways until they lose interest. With that news, that I think my wife has been gray rocking me in bed for almost 20 years. I hope you guys have a great week, and let's get together and do this again real soon, but maybe at night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the soccer game is gray rocking us. Yeah. I'm guessing a lot of these players are pretty good around the box. You know what I'm saying? So I don't
usually.
Oh, geez, Miller. That's an unfortunate like watching stereotype. Leslie
paint dry.
I forgot if this.
Did anybody else catch what he just said?
No. What? What happened? It's too early.
Well, you're not going to be able to hear it on a podcast either. So
you said it's like watching being paint dry.
Oh, geez.
I didn't even know such thing as being paint.
It's the same as regular paint with a shorter haircut. Like what?
Things are getting a little off the tracks here. I feel like Rapinoe is taking these like set kicks, instead of kicking it up in the air, she's like kicking like line drives at people's knees. Is that like a strategy?
I don't know.
I don't think I like that.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Did you guys watch any video show this weekend?
Oh man, I saw a pillow fight in a boxing ring. I'm just like, oh god.
I saw the stair climbing competition.
Yes, that's what I saw. And
is that the one where they grease up the steps and you got to crawl the steps? Oh yeah, I've seen that in something else too. I don't remember what that was. That's awesome.
And most of the rules are about how you can't jam stuff in between the steps.
I remember watching that, and like the first two people racing finally finished, and the third person, like they were obviously losing, but they made them finish, and this person's just like trying by themselves to get up the steps and keep sliding all the way back down. I have to start over. And like you're just watching, like come on.
What are they possibly explaining to them?
Exactly. Like if they score, it's a goal. If they don't, life. It's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to you, mate. It's like, come on. They're going to kick it. You're going to try to stop it. Then we're going to do that again. Capiche?
So is there an advantage, Chuck, to being the first to shoot or the last to shoot?
Soccer I would assume the last to shoot.
In most videos I watch, you want to be the first to shoot because the last to shoot is just kind of...
Most videos I watch.
Now the goalie gets to kick?
No.
They do? Yeah. It's the goalie.
Wait, what? So they just do like a one
tiebreaker?
And done? They do a one and done? They don't do another five? What is happening?
Boy, it's really weird to let the person who kicks it the least be the one who decides the game.
And yet somehow she's better than Cade York, who only kicks for it.
Oh.
Nice. That was nice.
Well, wait a minute. They're letting somebody who's not their goalie kick. So we picked our goalie on purpose.
Picked him, yeah.
Oh, that's just they're just
getting their heads.
Yeah. We're so good. We're going to let our keeper take this. Don't ruin this next one.
So this is four kicks instead of five, right?
I think it's just one and one.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Like,
oh, damn it, Miller.
I don't know what's happening.
Are they fighting?
No, I get what Miller's saying.
Nice.
This is fucking nuts. Yeah, this is nuts.
So is this just one then one, right? Like it.
They looking like it did it cross.
Yeah, they look. You know, see if it got over the line. Can they review this? Is this a reviewable play?
God.
Oh, it's over.
It went over.
Yep. That's it. Team USA.
Oh, they gave it to him. So they don't.
Yeah.
They don't go to like video review. They just think about it.
Somebody must have reviewed it. They're just not showing it yet.
Yeah.
Boy, and there you go. You end up in a shootout like that. And as it has been the entire time in the World Cup for this Team USA group, they had the opportunity and they let it slip away. You know, they were up in those. All they had to do was make one of those two goals that they had at the end of the shootout and they would have won.
This is probably the best match that they played the entire tournament in terms of energy and everything, you know. All right, Fox, can I see a replay?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, exactly. Quit showing us this. Let us see what actually happened.
So you win 0-0.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's a metric system. I don't quite get it. Yeah, still no highlight, guys, and I'm 20 minutes ahead of you.
Yeah, exactly. Just watching everybody hug and say goodbye. God, this sucks. All right, fellas.
Yeah.
Here we go. That was awesome.
Finally. Yeah.
Are they going to show it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So it doesn't have to hit the ground behind the line. It just has to go behind it.
Just cross it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it definitely did. Jeez.
Ooh.
Look at that. They use the tennis technology. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, fellas, I got an episode to edit. You guys go take your naps, enjoy your Sundays, and thanks for waking up early. This was a ton of fun. You guys have a great time.
Have a great trip, man. Enjoy
space. Yeah, yeah. I will. Can't wait to hear about that, man.
Yeah. Going to be awesome. You guys are the best.
All right, guys. All right, love you guys.
See
you,
fellas. Boys. Later.
Peace.
What do you mean I'm funny? Funny like a clown here to amuse you?